Weekday mornings, 5:30 until 10 a.m. You can listen to Dave and Darren in the morning live on Planet 93.9.
What a world.
The other side of that coin is where you find yourself now, and that's our top five things. This is the best stuff from the morning show, presented for you here in this forum. Anything you'd like to add, Darren?
Well, I just think it's marvelous. And I just couldn't be happier.
You remember, do you ever, I'm sure you've seen this.
What's that?
It's from an old variety show where Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald are just hanging out.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the new music these days.
Okay.
And it's the 60s.
Yeah.
And they're doing like, you know, they do like Beatles covers.
Yeah.
And Ella's like, Frank, tell me.
Yeah.
What do you think of the music today?
Yeah.
And Frank just goes, oh, I just think it's marvelous.
That's right. He's moving on with the times.
That's what you remind me of. It's like Frank and Ella,
yeah,
and they're going to do, you know, their take on the Day Tripper for us.
Sure.
I think the music today, it just swings. I think it's just marvelous. They had a TV special.
Yeah.
It must have just been those two.
That's all you need.
A Man and His Music.
Oh, yeah.
With Ella.
I
aired in 1967.
Yep. A Man and His Music.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just marvelous. Here, this is them doing a Going Out of My Head. Let me just give you a taste of this.
Yeah.
I promise you, it's worth it.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head.
Oh, I think it's just marvelous.
Did you hear her? She was like,
She's digging.
Was she eating like a honey bun?
I think she was just enjoying whatever Frank was
laying
up to
down.
There. Yeah, yeah. Good for them. They're having fun. We want to get into the top five things now.
Yes, let's do that.
Oh, it's just marvelous.
Number one.
And this should be obvious.
Okay,
Number one.
I don't know why he did it, but he did it. This man is a landlord up in Duluth, Minnesota. How long do you think it would take if we left right now to get to Duluth, Minnesota?
Let's see. Give me, what, 6-7 hours?
It's 7 hours. It's a 7-hour trip from here to Duluth. You have to go through a lot of Minnesota to get to Duluth.
Yeah.
This landlord, something happened, and apparently he decided he didn't want to be a landlord anymore.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
The new season of that starts, I think, next week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I can't wait. Duluth landlord started an apartment fire on purpose. And
going to burn down his own apartments, huh?
Yes.
No.
And while maybe you could come up in your head with a motivation for that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. He was playing a song, blasting it as loud as he could while he started the blaze.
Uh-huh.
Had to have a soundtrack for this caper, it seems.
Okay.
If you had to guess, what song was he playing when he set his own apartment building on fire?
Burning down the house?
That's a good guess. And that's better than what he went with. A Duluth landlord accused of starting an apartment on fire while blasting Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. Did he think this would hold up in court?
This doesn't excuse you.
Anything, it might draw a little attention to what you're doing? Court records state that in the early morning of Friday, May the 18th,
Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio.
That's enough of that. Friday, May 18th, first responders were called to an upstairs apartment fire. The complaint alleges when the first responders arrived, they saw the upstairs apartment in flames with We Didn't Start the Fire blaring from the apartment. This'll throw them off the trail. They'll never suspect it.
I don't know if that's going to work.
No, no, no. They can't get me if I'm playing a song that insists that I did not, in fact, start the fire.
It's in the song. We didn't start the fire.
You got nothing on me, see?
Yeah. You see?
You're not going to get me for this one. I don't know, man. I feel like you maybe overthought this. The apartment was occupied by 37-year-old landlord Travis Lee Carlson. The downstairs tenant reports that around 3 or 3:30 in the morning, he woke up to the sound of Carlson smashing glass and breaking things. Then the defendant knocked on the downstairs tenant apartment and told him, "The house is on fire." Neighbor called 911 to report that Carlson...
We didn't start the fire.
Carlson, according to a 911 call made by a neighbor, Carlson was smashing his own windows while wearing a helmet.
Was he smashing it with the helmet?
Yeah, that would have been a better look.
Going head first into the windows?
Now you got something.
Boy, this guy is snapping.
Not his best day.
No, that is a world-class fit that he's throwing right there.
If the fit you're throwing requires a helmet and a soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, count to 10.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
The neighbors said they saw Carlson go under his truck with gas cans and come in and out of the house. And the neighbor also reported seeing a flash like a fireball from the upstairs apartment.
Yep, there's the fireball.
Wait for it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. The flash like a fireball came from that upstairs apartment that Carlson was in. Authorities found a drilled hole in the gas tank of Carlson's truck.
He drilled a hole.
To get to the gasoline.
And he damaged his car.
Drilled a hole in the gas tank of his truck. They found a drill lying nearby, as well as lids to cans, gas cans, laying on the ground by the truck. The electrical panel in the basement of the house also had its wires pulled out. And liquid lines from a burned accelerant allegedly stained several pieces of furniture, flooring, and the walls in the apartment. He was found the day after the incident with fresh burn injuries to his legs and arms.
Sure.
He is looking now at one felony charge of first-degree arson. If convicted, he could serve up to 20 years in prison.
It wasn't like he could stop and get some gas. Nah, I'll just take her from the truck.
I got my helmet on. I got my drill. Let's rock and roll. Let's
make this. You want to get crazy? Let's get crazy.
Let's make this happen. Wow. That is... I'm not even mad. That's world class, right?
I mean, it is world class.
He's currently in custody at the St. Louis County Jail up there in Duluth. His bail is set at $75,000.
I don't know what the problem is. My apartments. Your Honor.
Your Honor.
If it pleases the court, I have prepared this short remark. No more questions.
How mad would you be if you were a fireman and you got to something that was clearly arson and they were playing We Didn't Start the Fire?
Turn that off. I hate that song. Billy Joel hates that song.
We- He's just underneath his truck with a drill, getting all the gas out of the tank.
This is happening now.
I'm doing this. This is happening. I bought the helmet specifically for a night exactly like this.
Right.
Why else would you have a helmet on? Yeah, this is my arson helmet. Well.
Yeah, that's losing it.
I imagine, too, you're the one watching and calling 911. You're like, yeah, I think something bad's about to happen. And
there's the fireball.
Oh, yeah, there's that fireball.
That's what we were waiting on.
This did not disappoint. I got everything I wanted out of this one.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
Monday mornings, we'd like to share with you this review of people who are asking questions to advice columnists. Not asking friends, not asking strangers on the internet, but writing letters to people who answer letters and give the very best advice that they
know
how.
Please tell me, you'll tell me what I want to hear.
And a lot of times, yes. You can tell by the way they write the letter that they're expecting to get some sort of backup. And a lot of times that backup is not forthcoming.
No. The reply you typically get is that you should be locked up.
Someone wrote the Miss Manners persona. Miss Manners. Now, that can be a helpful column sometimes. Would it be insulting to my husband, who dislikes dancing, if I danced at a concert without him?
Am I allowed to move? Am I allowed to move at a musical concert?
In my youth, I was taught how to dance. I was also taught that your escort was always your partner for the first and last dances. It signals to others that this is the person with whom you arrived and with whom you are leaving.
Do you walk around with a dance card?
I love dancing. My husband does not. It was all I could do to get him to move in circles for one song at my niece's weddings. The dilemma is that we will soon be attending a concert by a band that encourages dancing in the aisles during the show. I would be more than happy to dance alone or with any partner, but I also want to prevent any insult to my husband. Would I be wrong to follow my love of dance and leave my husband in his seat for most of the concerts?
Are you talking about performing a dance? Or are you just talking about moving to the music?
Moving to the music is what it sounds like. I don't want my husband upset if I'm dancing at this concert. He doesn't like to dance. Wow.
I think as long as you're not performing a dance.
Wow. Miss Manners would consider it an insult to your marriage to believe that your husband would begrudge you some innocent enjoyment that he does not care to share. Yeah. Also, is this letter from the 1700s? Check the postmark on the letter.
Uh-huh.
What world are they living in? I don't want my husband getting upset if I dance at a concert.
He's been dead for 100 years.
Someone wrote, "Dear Abby, how can I get the married man I had an affair with to apologize for cheating on me? I started having sex with a married coworker. He cheated on me with other women. When I found out, I told him to tell me he was sorry because I didn't deserve that. He could have just left me alone, but he won't apologize. What do I do? I'm really upset about it. He's married and living a single life." As you can imagine, Dear Abby, not openly sympathetic here.
Yeah.
Why are you surprised that you're not the only other woman in his life? You're hardly the wronged woman here. It's his wife that is.
Yeah. It's not you that should be feeling slighted.
Uh-huh. Am I wrong to object when my husband buys a first-class plane ticket while my kids and I all fly coach?
Yes.
Who, yeah. Who are just, these monsters?
Just yes.
My husband loves to travel and always pays for or gets an upgrade into the first class cabin.
It's the way I travel.
When we travel with our children, he buys himself a ticket in first class and puts us in economy or economy plus.
Economy minus.
He even did this recently on an overnight flight to Paris. He justifies flying alone in first class because of the cost and the fact that our kids, ages 12 and 16, might feel alone if I were to travel in first with him and leave them in the rear cabin. I feel that this is unfair. I don't think our kids would mind if they were in economy plus and my husband and I sat together in first class. Is that unfair of me to want? My husband has suggested traveling alone on a different flight ahead of us so we don't feel badly about the disparity.
How about this?
I'll meet you halfway. I'll be on a plane in first class without you entirely.
That way you don't have to look at the back of my head.
I don't have to be up in first class thinking about my awful dirt family sitting underneath the luggage and steerage. I think this doesn't really solve the problem or the inherent selfishness of his thinking. Am I wrong? We're happy to travel and love going places together, but I still think this is very strange.
You know why?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of monster you married. As you can imagine, in this case, the advice columnist says, quote, a modern marriage is meant to be a pairing of equals in which each partner treats the other with respect, consideration, and dignity. Your husband has another view. What you need to do, they say, is you sit in first class sometimes and he sits in first class sometimes. If that's
going to be the arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to go for that.
No.
How about I sit in first class and you sit back here with the kids?
What?
No. We're not doing that. I'm not putting up with any of that. Should I tell my 8-year-old that his friend won't be at his birthday party because of his mom's absurd demands? My oldest son, Josh, is very gregarious. He has a few friends, though, that he's particularly close to. Uh-huh. He'll be turning 8 soon. And after some back and forth, we decided we can have 4 friends at his birthday party. Mm. His birthday party is in 2 weeks, and my husband and I have decided to swap out one of the guests. John's friend Ben is a really sweet kid, but his mom is difficult. You see, Ben has seafood allergies. So his mother asked what we'll be serving in terms of food. None of it had seafood. But for the cake, we're going for German chocolate, which is our son Josh's favorite. Mm-hmm. Ben apparently dislikes coconut, and his mom demanded that we change the cake to suit him. Mm. Ben is a very easygoing kid. I know different cakes are different, but at our favorite bakery, the coconut is in the filling and frosting, but not in the actual cake. Mm-hmm. So if he was presented with German chocolate cake, I think he could just eat around it. Well, she takes issue with the party, thinking that it's too sedentary. We're letting the kids play for a bit in our backyard, and then they're going to watch an older kid's movie and then have pizza and cake. She's saying at her kid's party, they had an indoor bouncy house. She's also referred to my daughter as the ugly girl with glasses in front of her.
What?
She's demanding that if we...
Whenever I see her, I call her the ugly girl with glasses that's in front of me right now.
She demanded to stay for the whole party, and I definitely don't want her around my daughter for more than a minute at most. As her demands escalate, she's been threatening to say that her son Ben can't attend unless all of her demands are met. My husband and I plan on shrugging our shoulders and finding a different friend for Josh to invite, but I'm not sure how much to tell Josh about this. I don't want to make things awkward with his friend. I could easily imagine Ben's mom telling him that he couldn't come to the party because we were being difficult. I don't want to implicate Ben's mom because I'm sure Josh will either on purpose or accidentally turn around and tell Ben that it was his mom's fault he couldn't come to the birthday party. Wow.
You know what? We'll go get Ben a cupcake, and if that's not good enough, then.
You're going to the house with the ugly girl with the glasses? It's her son that's having, and it's her brother's.
You mean that ugly one that's right in front of me whenever I see her?
In this case, they say it's not necessary to uninvite Ben from the party, but make it clear to his mom that Ben's welcome to come or not, and eat cake or not eat cake, but that's the end of your negotiations. Yeah. How can I ask my daughter-in-law, who recently had a baby, to choose gifts for me since my son is terrible at gift-giving?
Give me that again?
How can I ask my daughter-in-law, who recently had a baby,
yeah,
to choose gifts for me since my son is bad at gift giving?
Ah.
I know this is going to sound materialistic, but when my son got engaged to his new wife, one thing I was thrilled about was that I would finally receive good gifts.
Why would you?
Gifts are my love language, but my son is atrocious at gift giving. A fact that my now daughter-in-law and I have commiserated over. And while my daughter-in-law gives lovely, thoughtful gifts, my dream came true for the first couple of years of their marriage, but they recently had their first baby and apparently redistributed chores to accommodate the extra workload. And now my son buys gifts for his side of the family and my daughter-in-law buys gifts for hers.
And all I can do is just sit there and long for the gifts that the other people get.
So her mother receives delightful gifts while I get grocery store checkout lane gift cards. I'd like to ask that she take over gift giving again. How do I do that in the most respectful way? Oh my God.
Gifts are my love language.
What's wrong with grocery store gift cards, by the way? If that's all I ever got, yeah, I'd be fine with it.
It's not a bad gift.
No, it's maybe the best gift.
Because look at everything I can buy in this store.
I mean, come on.
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Three.
Three. Three.
One of my great fears is that at some point in my life, I'll have to have another roommate.
What?
I think about this a lot.
What?
What if something happens where I have to move in with somebody?
Oh, no. Under what scenario
I don't know.
That happen?
Could be an odd couple situation. Could be I'm all alone and I have to, in order to make ends meet.
You have to bring somebody in that you don't really want to bring in?
Exactly. Exactly. It's something I think a lot about, and I think, oh, that would not be great.
I don't think you need to be spending any time worrying about that, but you do.
Enjoyed the time I had in my 20s with roommates. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were a different animal, weren't you?
That's the truth. And I don't think I could recognize
that animal again.
Right? If it was like, okay, I'm the last one left, and now I gotta move in with somebody. I don't know. I don't know if I'd like that.
What if someone had to move in with you?
Well, who's that someone? Like
I don't know.
Well, see, but that's the same scenario. Like if my wife's gone, right?
Yeah.
And my son's grown.
Yeah.
And in order to make the payments on the house, I got to take in a boarder.
An unsavory boarder.
Yeah. See, that's, oh man, just talking about it makes me sick to my stomach. Oh no. Oh no.
But they're good with the lawn, and they're a good cook.
No, I don't see that happening. I don't, in my mind, the only scenario is they eat all my food, and they are a constant mess, and they're loud, and I can't do anything about
and
it.
And they're physically abusive.
Oh, no. I don't know if I want that.
I mean, not like they don't beat me up, but they like are constantly always
elder
just
abuse.
Like,
is elder abuse happening? And I'm the elder.
They're just like always constantly like flicking me.
Oh yeah, right.
Or
quit hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself. I'm 80 years old. Why are you doing this to me? I don't need this.
No,
I don't want this. There's a Kentucky man in the headlines this morning. 64-year-old Clifton E. Williams shot his roommate in the butt for eating his last Hot Pocket. Behind bars.
That's why you always have extra Hot Pockets.
But see, that's the problem with roommates who will eat your food. There's no such thing as extra. They just keep going. We had a roommate when I first moved here 28 years ago, and this guy never bought groceries.
Ate everything.
He was just always interested in whatever you put in the fridge.
This is more interesting. It tastes better when I don't pay for it.
I know.
I get that.
I know. I get that. I bought bologna. Where's the bologna, Merle? And Merle would be like, oh, yeah, that was good stuff.
I didn't know you had a Merle.
Merle, yeah, my roommate Merle. True story.
The Pearl, we called him.
We called him the Squirrel. Kentucky man behind bars after authorities claim he shot his roommate after the victim ate the last Hot Pocket in the home. Clifton E. Williams is 64 years old. He lives there in Louisville. He was arrested over the weekend on one count of assault for the shooting that wounded his roommate during an alleged argument over the microwavable food item.
Can you imagine what he would have done if it had been Steakums?
Well, you're right. This story could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Police say Williams became upset when he learned his roommate had apparently eaten.
Grandpa just ate the last Hot Pocket.
We're watching Hot Pocket Powerball. He allegedly started throwing tiles at him. The roommate tried to leave, but that's when Williams went back inside their shared home, grabbed a gun, and shot the victim in the rear end.
How many different varieties of Hot Pockets do you think there are?
Oh, wow.
Because you've got like a breakfast Hot Pocket, you've got your dinner Hot Pockets.
I'll say that there's 10.
I bet there's more than that.
Like on the market, we're talking about all time or right now on the market? Because I'm sure there are flavors that have been discontinued.
You're going to have like your Philly cheesesteak Hot Pockets. Mm. You got your meatball Hot Pockets.
I didn't even know they still made Hot Pockets.
Oh yeah.
How do I not see them?
They're in the freezer case.
You got your pepperoni pizza, your ham and cheddar, your four cheese pizza, your four meat and four cheese pizza. Your garlic buttery crust pepperoni. Oh, there's
dozens. A million.
There's dozens. Steak and cheddar. Hickory ham and cheddar.
Exactly.
Philly steak and cheese, as you predicted. Italian-style meatballs and mozzarella. Did you predict Philly cheese, or is that something that you get on the regular?
Well, I haven't got it.
No. When's the last time you had a Hot Pocket?
Maybe this year?
It's been 25 years, at least, since I've had a Hot Pocket. Because I remember them being either stupid hot or really cold. There was never a Hot Pocket where I thought
like
that
it,
was
you
done.
You kind of like it cold in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know that I do. I don't know that I do. You know what else I didn't like from the Hot Pockets?
What's that?
The other thing about the Hot Pockets that I didn't particularly care for was the
diarrhea.
No thanks. Roommate tried to leave. That's when Williams went back into the shared home and grabbed the gun. The roommate told investigators he sought help a few blocks away. Victim was taken to the University of Louisville Hospital where he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Williams was arraigned on the assault charge Monday morning, ordered to have no contact with his roommate, and not to possess any firearms or other weapons. He'll be back in court on May 30th. So we'll finally have some sort of closure to this story, which is, I think, all we're asking for, right? You're listening to Dave and Darren.
You're listening to the two men who put the hot in Hot Pocket. Dave and Darren. Hot Pocket.
Four.
The American Idol finale was last night. And? Who will be the next American Idol? I guess the last three American Idols have all been country singers.
Okay.
That might make sense why I don't know who.
Or something they call country.
Yeah. What passes for country these days?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen, if your song isn't about meeting a gambler on a train who
headed for nowhere,
wants to bum some whiskey and then dies after he drinks your whiskey, if that's not what country is, then I don't know what we're doing listening to this.
And if there's not a band leader that doesn't utter the words "heat her up, boys," then you're not listening to country.
I'd also like to throw out that the advice that the gambler gives, no one to hold him, no one to fold him. It's not really great advice. Like, I feel like Kenny Rogers thought he was going to get some sort of secret to winning poker, and just seemed like common sense, really.
What I'm offering you is common sense, as opposed to, I thought you had like a foolproof, like a way to cheat.
I told you I've made my living off of reading people's faces. Did you think I was going to give that secret away for a taste of your whiskey? How much sense would that make? Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to die now.
I have a false leg. That has every card in the deck available to me.
That's the secret of the
gambler. So you're saying I need to amputate my leg and replace it with a false leg?
Somewhere in the distance.
Yes.
The gambler showed me his stump, where his leg was before, and why he cut it off. That leg was full of aces.
I don't know that I'm going to those extremes, gambler.
Yeah, I just play poker for fun. I'm just on a train with some whiskey, which you've now taken the last swallow of, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Ride this train sober like a jackass? Is that what I'm supposed to do? For your great advice? No one to hold them and no one to fold them. Thanks for nothing.
Can I have my gum back, please?
How did that get out of my mouth and into yours? Well, I could tell you that one, too, for a chew of your bubble gum, I'll give you some advice. American Idol, it's not a country star for the first time in 3 years. People were shocked because it was down to the final three.
Yes.
For season 21, the finale was said to be tense. American Idol, season 21, delivered yet another shock during its tense finale. I'm reading here from the USA Today this morning. Sunday's three-hour broadcast.
What?
No. No, thanks. Hard pass.
No, God!
Hey, do you want to...
No, God, please, no!
Do you want to come over and watch American Idol with my parents?
How long is it?
Okay, I guess. It's 3 hours?
Sunday's three-hour broadcast, which aired live on ABC Coast to Coast, saw the final three contestants, Megan Danielle, Colin Stowe, and Iam Tungi, each take the stage for the last time to win votes from viewers. Judges Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie provided feedback as usual. But in this last leg of the competition, all they could offer was praise and good wishes as the singers leave the show to embark on their music careers. Yes, and join the countless other American Idols that are so ever present in our lives.
Boy, I mean, even the judges have to be like, make it end. Just make it end.
The final three each sang two songs, one by guest mentor Keith Urban. Ugh.
P.U.
And another in tribute.
He sleeps there, doesn't he?
Another in tribute to their hometowns. My wife Jenny once said of Keith Urban, and I think of this often whenever I see him. She once said of Keith Urban, he looks like the hair that you pull out of our bathtub drain. Yeah, that's about right.
That's Keith.
So they sang one Keith Urban song and then another in tribute to their hometowns. Then host Ryan Seacrest revealed which contestants made it to the top two. And those singers went head-to-head with original songs. Tongi got the crowd chanting his name after singing Keith Urban's Making Memories of Us. Danielle belted to the heavens with a Journey classic. And Stowe brought his good old country boy charm to a Chris Stapleton hit. My favorite part of this is the things that the judges had to say. Because, I mean, it's a little over the top. After this...
The praise is a little unwarranted.
Uh-huh. Megan Danielle kicked off the show, borrowing from her religious roots on Keith Urban's God Whispered Your Name. The judges raved over the 21-year-old server, with Richie complimenting the signature cry in her singing voice. "It's everything," Lionel gushed. "As far as I'm concerned, we have three number ones on this stage tonight." Katy Perry added, "Our job here is done, because that's the gift."
And Lionel Richie then replied, "I must now leave and dunk my head in an inkwell."
Danielle returned for a song dedicated to her hometown of Douglasville, Georgia, performing Faithfully by Journey.
How is that a tribute to your tiny little town?
P.U.
I mean, if you're from San Francisco or Chicago or New York, I can see how you could sing a song that's a tribute to your town. But what was the name of her town?
Douglasville, Georgia.
I don't remember the Monkees doing that one. The last train to Douglasville.
Douglasville, Georgia sounds like it's a town they named after a Green Acres character. Douglasville is 20 miles west of Atlanta. Well, there's plenty of Atlanta songs you could sing. Faithfully. They say that the road ain't no place to start a family.
Cha.
So Katy Perry was very pleased with the Journey cover and just started bawling. Katy Perry in tears said, quote, "I think this is what parents do when their kids graduate. She's the valedictorian. You aced this class."
Our founding fathers founded this town after their lawnmower broke down.
Douglasville is named after Stephen A. Douglas, the guy who debated Abraham Lincoln.
Not the best.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Not the best.
The number employer in Douglasville is the Walmart. I'm looking here at the points of interest there in Douglasville, Georgia.
We're the world's largest manufacturer of kitty litter.
Everyone, then I Am Tongi got the crowd chanting his name with a Keith Urban hit.
Every boy in town is named Dusty.
Tongi gave a smooth, groovy rendition of Keith Urban's Making Memories of Us as the crowd chanted his name. Perry sang, quote, "Every time you come on and sing, the vibration that comes out of your mouth, it goes through the weeds.
Makes me nauseous.
Of people's hearts." He then performed Cool Down by Koloe Kai as a dedication to his hometown of Kahuku, Hawaii.
Yeah, you gotta cool it down.
Katie saying, quote, "I am, you are the culture. Welcome to paradise, my friend." Anyway, then the country kid came out and he got cut from the top three in a shocking twist, you see, because everyone assumed that kid was going to win because the last three winners have been country stars.
So not only
the audience let out a collective gasp when Seacrest announced that after the nationwide vote, Stow was eliminated, leaving Tongi and Danielle to face off as finalists.
Everyone collectively cut the cheese.
There were great performances from former contestants, including a medley with Lucy Love and TLC, a Brian Stowe duet of the Conway Twitty classic Slow Hand.
You've never been this far before.
By the way, your trembling fingers. Oh, wow. I can't believe we missed this. I'll have to see if I can catch this on Hulu. So then I Am and Megan had to face off in an intense final two showdown. And at the end of the day, when the votes were locked in, Seacrest revealed the winner. It was Tongi. He sang Spawn Breezy's Don't Let Go as his fellow contestants rushed the stage and confetti rained down. He is the first non-country singer to win the show in 3 years. So congratulations. I can't wait to see very long, very successful career, as is always the case for everyone who's ever won American Idol. Such stars as Noah Thompson, Chase Beckham, Just Sam, Lane Hardy, Trent Hamilton, Caleb Johnson, Candace Glover. I mean, all of these superstars that we hear about all the time. Unbelievable. Well, it seems like we missed an opportunity to really be a part of history last night by not watching the American Idol.
3 hours.
Number five.
Number five.
Lake County, Indiana. Family was going through some of Granddad's things.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Whatever you're thinking, it's actually worse.
Okay, well, let's just see about that.
They were parsing through their grandfather's belongings at an Indiana home on Saturday night when they found Grandpa had a hand grenade.
Oh, no.
This is in the Lakes of the Four Seasons gated community.
I did see this headline.
And somebody found the grenade.
Not only found it.
And then pulled the pin.
And then detonated it.
I wonder what would happen.
I can't resist.
It's all I can think about.
I can't resist.
Kabam!
What's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, I guess.
That's not the best.
I guess that's not great. The device detonated just before 6:30 on Saturday night, killing Brian Niedert, who's 47 years old. His kids were in the room, 18-year-old daughter and 14-year-old son. They suffered shrapnel wounds and were brought to a local hospital. We don't know who pulled the pin. Was it Dad? Or, this could be somehow worse, did one of the kids pull the pin and throw it to Dad?
You're a dad catch.
Dad, what's this? What do we got here? Oh! Yeah, they say that it is not an ordnance disposal expert says here. It's not rare for hand grenades to be in private collections, but a very, very high percentage are totally inert and safe to handle. That said, you should never pull a pin on a grenade unless you know 1,010% that it's totally inert. If you find a grenade, you are to distance yourself from it and call 911 right away. A bomb squad had to be called to this house, by the way, to determine if Grandpa maybe had some additional explosive devices.
And some love letters.
Oh, that is rough stuff.
We were a pretty close platoon.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.
Thanks for downloading it, subscribing it, listening to it. We'll have another one for you very soon. Until we get a chance to do that for you, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Representing. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
This isn't over until I say it's over.
Your time is up.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.